Dark Knight Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Dark Knight Podcast. Alright, today on this episode, I have my friend, Forrest. He's going to be guest hosting this with me.
Hello, this is me, Forrest. Happy to be here.
Alright, so anyway, today's topic of discussion is going to be the Batman villains. Our top five, and we're going to discuss them a little bit. But before we get to that part, let's talk about some things. The schedule. This podcast, I've decided, is going to come out bi-weekly. Maybe more if there's a special episode, you know, something. You know, but at least twice a week, I'm going to try and do that. Maybe when I start up school, maybe once a week, but I don't think so. I think I can do it. I think it's okay. All right, starting up, I've signed up for a pull list at my comic book store, thanks to the Comic Geek Speak guys. So, starting in a couple of episodes, I'm going to be talking about current Batman books. Like today, I went and bought Detective Comics 833 and Batman 664. I'm going to read those tonight. My comic guy said that those are good things to start with. I'm going to start pulling those. I'm going to try and start catching up on my Batman, because I haven't read every single Batman issue. Wish I could, but I haven't, so I'm going to start doing that. All right, so what's going to come up next is that I think over the next few shows we're going to have some top fives, because those are good and everyone enjoys those. And yeah, and if you have any suggestions, we'll send them in to me. darkknightpod@yahoo.com, remember that. Alright, so anyway, let's get on past this kind of schedule-y stuff, and let's talk about five villains of Batman. The five villains of Batman are excellent. His rogues gallery is one of the best in comics. You have all different kinds of people. You have some of the coolest and weirdest stuff you've ever seen. But anyway, alright, so I'm going to go down mine, and I'm going to do one, Forrest is going to do another, and we're just going to go back and forth, alright? Alright, my number five is the Riddler. Alright, the Riddler is really cool, because, you know, he's not really insane. He's a criminal, yeah. I mean, he has some little bit, you know, messed up wiring, but he's not really like a psycho homicidal maniac guy. He likes to make jokes and stuff like that, and I just find that, you know, interesting and fun. And he always comes up with some good funny riddles and things of that sort. You know, so I mean, I need to read more of him, but I think he's done well, you know, in some instances. Anyway, Forrest?
Yeah, you know, the Riddler is kind of an intriguing character, mostly because, you know, he toys with Batman. He does the sort of Bond villain sort of thing. He doesn't just kill him, he doesn't just go forward with his plan. He, like, leaves these little clues behind, almost like he's challenging Batman to be a good hero, which is kind of a cool thing.
Yep, alright, so what's your number five?
My number five was Ra's al Ghul. Now, I don't know much about Ra's al Ghul. I'm only really familiar with him. You told me his backstory a little bit earlier, and I saw Batman Begins and thought he was a very intriguing character. I often wonder, he's sort of an anti-hero, in a sense, because he intends to do good, but yet he's such an evil character. And sometimes I have to ask myself, well, is he wrong? And some, I'm not sure. Maybe maybe the listeners can even phone in on that, so to speak.
There you go. Yeah, we should have a discussion. I seriously want to get in-depth and have spotlight episodes on certain characters, like one on the Joker and his famous things, and Ra's al Ghul and stuff like that. But this is just an overview, so... But yeah, if you guys want to send in your top fives, that'd be great. You can send them in anytime, because on this podcast, the Batman universe is so huge and diverse that nothing's really ever covered. I mean, if we have a top five, that doesn't mean that's going to be the top five forever. Like, in a month, it could change, you know, so.
Yeah, and I definitely have to add on to that. I mean, as I become more familiar with the Batman universe, these are nowhere near definite. At this time, these are just the five that shine for me.
There you go. Yeah, Forrest is, he's my best friend, and I'm going to hope to give him more comics and more stuff, and so that he'll be more diverse and more into the universe, and he'll be, you know, given a fresh perspective, because, you know, that's a good thing to do. I think the podcast that have a fresh perspective is good, you know? But anyway, alright, so on to number four. My number four is the Scarecrow. I've loved the Scarecrow ever since the animated series. The Scarecrow is really cool to me because he likes to spread fear. And he is, I guess he's like, he's not the Hannibal Lecter of the Batman, but he uses psychology to screw with everyone in the universe. You know, I mean, he uses gases and he uses all this different kind of stuff, and it's just to screw with people, and he screws with your head, you know, with or without the gases, you know? And he also loves to put on that persona of a Scarecrow, which, you know, I think that's pretty cool. You know, and, so yeah, the Scarecrow's my number four. I've read a couple of things with him. I have to read more. I mean, seriously, I have to read more because I know a lot about the villains, but I don't know everything, and I want kind of know everything. I know, I'm just saying, but I'd love to read more.
And that's kind of coincidental because also my number four was Scarecrow. And I picked Scarecrow because I think it's sort of funny that whenever people are afraid of Scarecrow, it's really nothing. It's all in their heads. It's just that gas taking over. And I think it's kind of enjoyable to see a superhero that just thrives on the concept of evil. It's not like some of the other characters that have a motive. Like, they're trying to get something or they're trying to achieve something. I mean, the Scarecrow just seems to be in it just to scare the hell out of people and enjoy watching them fret.
Well, he does want money sometimes, though. And he has done stuff in the past.
True.
Yeah, sometimes he gets egotistical and wants to be the master scare guy of Gotham, which that's kind of crazy. But, anyway, so how do you think Scarecrow is depicted in the movie?
I thought he was depicted well. I'm not so familiar with the comic books, mm-hmm. but I liked the way he was depicted as this sort of psychologist that seems to have what he seems to be okay, a little bit creepy, but really, in fact, the psychologist just seems to be off the deep end, you know? And it's kind of cool that when he becomes the Scarecrow, it's like he just lets it loose, you know? Maybe by day he's the creepy guy at work, but by night he's like the freaking guy that makes you fear everything you can.
There you go.
And then he's got this Scarecrow thing going on. I mean, out of all the outfits or out of all the personas he could have chosen, he chose a Scarecrow, which is kind of a cool thing because a Scarecrow, you know, they're in the fields and they scare the crows away from whatever. And we look at the Scarecrow as kind of a stupid thing because, you know, crows are so dumb they actually fall for it. And it's kind of funny to flip that on normal people. To actually be scared of something that really is fake. I mean, you can see a lot of really cool little layers in the actual character.
Anyway, so my number three is Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze, I really like him. I think he's an awesome character. I have a real affinity for characters who their whole reason for being, basically, is love. Like Mr. Freeze. He is a bad guy. But he's not a bad guy. He, you know, he's one of those guys that he's like, I'm not just going to kill innocent children and people and stuff unless they're going to sacrifice my wife. Then, yeah, I'll kill them all and, you know, stuff. I don't know, something about it, kind of like Darth Vader, you know? He became evil for love, and I just think that's a really interesting, you know, thing to be, you know, I just love that aspect.
Yeah, it really is interesting. And you can kind of see him, very rarely he'll soften up a little bit. But I think the reason he's chosen that whoever created Mr. Freeze chose Mr. Freeze could possibly be that, you know, he was once a warm-hearted person. Now it's like he's lost a lot of his humanity or his soul, and the only real remnants that's left is the love for his nearly dead wife.
Yeah, very true. Freeze is awesome. And he has a kick-ass gun, and I just love the suit. I mean, yes, I mean, I have to read more of Freeze. So, hey, if you guys have any suggestion of more Mr. Freeze stuff, I'd love to hear it. That'd be great. But, you know, Mr. Freeze is just really cool. Really cool kind of guy.
Side note, I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Freeze will be appearing at the Governor's Convention in California later this month, if anybody was interested in attending.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't really think when the guy invented him that he wanted a Austrian bodybuilder to be playing him, but I don't know. Maybe that's the, you never know. Maybe that's what he was thinking.
On to my number three. My number three I chose was Two-Face, a.k.a. Harvey Dent. And, one of the things that I love about Two-Face is the fact that he has this duality of man sort of thing going for him. Kind of reminds me of Full Metal Jacket with the peace symbol on your war helmet. It's kind of like a contradiction, but that's what human beings are a lot of the time. They're contradictions. And Harvey kind of, he emulates that, which is really interesting. And also that he puts his faith in his coin. It's almost, and I wonder what the coin is, if it does represent anything, what it might. You know, does it represent, like, you know, just like the decisions we make every day? Do we really do that? Do we think between the good side and the bad side? And, you know, I think it's cool that he chooses it straight down the line. If he decides on doing something evil, he'll do it evil. And if he decides to do something good, he'll do it good. Which is something that a lot of human beings lack.
No, yeah, no, very true. Very, in fact, that's my number two. I agree that Two-Face is a great character, and the great thing with, and just like you said, is that he's not all evil. He is totally, truly half good, half evil, and Batman is always trying to get into the good side, and a couple of times it's worked, but if, but I mean, I don't know if you've read it, but if you've read the Face the Face trade, or the issues, I have it if you want to read it. During 52, I'm not going to give out any spoilers, but this is just a basic overview. And during 52, you know, they all went away, and he left the he left Gotham in the hands of Harvey Dent, who they cured, you know, and everything, and then something happened, so that's what Face the Face is about. But anyway, but
I'll have to borrow that from you and check it out.
Yeah, it's really good, and I love it because other than the Joker, I think that maybe Two-Face is one of Batman's main villains. He's always getting into his stuff, and he's always, you know, he's one of his most ruthless and deadliest.
Right, and if he's not in the story, he's probably somewhere planning on the next story, so to speak.
Yes, word to that.
Moving on to my number two, which was Poison Ivy. I'm very intrigued by Poison Ivy, and I felt that there's a lacking sometimes, I feel, for female characters that lack a lot of strength. And I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me, but I sometimes feel that there's this male-oriented villain base, and the only two real villains that are female are the Joker's wife, I believe, or the Joker's, I'm sorry,
Harley Quinn,
that's correct, and Poison Ivy and Catwoman. And it's kind of refreshing to see this character that really is charismatic, and she fights for something she believes in, and that's like biological peace, if you will. You know, she wants the world to be a better place, which kind of makes her an anti-hero in a sense, that she's more of a nature person. She doesn't care about, you know, society, rules, philosophy. She cares about the concept of nature, that human beings are ruining the environment for everybody else.
Yeah.
And also, you never really see biological superheroes. Most of the time, there's another way that they're transformed.
Supervillains,
my mistake. I apologize. But, you know, you never really see a biological side, and that's very refreshing.
But she's going about it the wrong way, though, too. You can't kidnap people and say you're going to kill them. That's not the right way to go about
it. Well, no,
stuff.
It wouldn't be the right way to go about it. But, you know, a lot of environmentalist people sometimes seem very passive, and this is like one of these aggressive people that's like, I'm going out to get it. And it's very interesting to see that.
Yeah. No, word to that. All right, so now we're down to number one. All right. Forrest and I, we both had the same number one. Some people say that he's been used too much. Some people say that, you know, every other Batman story is a Joker story. And our number one is Joker.
Gotta be the Joker.
I agree with Forrest that Joker is awesome. Yes, he's been in everything. But you know what? For some reason, I can't get enough of him. I mean, yes, there's been, 70 years worth of, Jokerness, but you know what? I love the Jokerness. If he was in everything, then yeah, that kind of thing. But I don't know. I mean, because Brian was talking about, you know, how he wanted to get a new Batman villain, and I don't know. I just love Joker. I really do. He's just awesome.
Well, I wouldn't mind a new Batman villain, just as long as the Joker stayed around.
Brian was saying that on the Comic Geek Speak. He was saying that he wished that somebody would take away Joker and put in a new villain.
Oh, I see.
Because, you know, he's been used so much. But you know, I mean, hey, you know, there's different opinions. Hey, why don't you send yours in? Hey, yeah, how would you do that?
Yeah, and I can understand that. You know, it's just like, you know, you got something that's good, and if you get it too much, you kind of get tired of it. I can understand that. But I just have to point to the Joker because he's such a cynic. I mean, he's just this demented, crazy guy that has enough brain power to still be a genius in some aspects. He, you know, he's always doing stuff that's just crazy. And I can't remember the issue, unfortunately, but I recall an issue. It might have been The Dark Knight Returns. I'm not sure. But the Joker was on a talk show, and he spread this laughing gas around the... Right. He spread a laughing gas in the audience that made this entire audience with these giant smiles, but dead. So you have this entire audience of dead corpses with these huge grins. And that's just so messed up and so cool at the same time. You'd never see a villain do that. And just to see this demented guy that thinks everything is funny do it, it just lightens my heart a little bit.
Nice. Well, I'd hate to see the other half of your heart. But anyway, the Joker's great. I mean, he's been in some great stories.
Okay, one last thought about the Joker. I think that one of the greatest things about the Joker is I'm always reminded of Freddy Krueger whenever I think of the Joker.
Okay.
And I'm reminded of Freddy Krueger because Freddy Krueger is such a cynical character in the horror film genre. And he always has these great one-liners. You know, he'll stab somebody in the head and say, "Do you have a headache?" And I kind of can't help but be reminded of the Joker in that aspect, that he would think it's hilarious and just start laughing.
Right, anyway, the thing with the Joker that I agree with Forrest, that he is kind of like the Riddler, as Forrest pointed out earlier today when we were talking about him, but Joker's a homicidal maniac. Like, he will kill children in the most hideous, screwed-up, freaking ways, and he'll laugh his butt off. Riddler's not like that. He just wants money. But the Joker is like that, yes. One of these days, I want to have a an episode on The Dark Knight Returns. I hope Forrest will join me for that one.
Most definitely.
Yep. We both think it was great.
Both of them, in fact.
The second one wasn't as good as the first, but it was good.
It was good.
But anyway, all right. So the Joker, yes. But yes, he's been in many stories and very all different kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, he's really an awesome, awesome character. But anyway, so hey, you guys listening out there, why don't you send in your top five? Here we go. This is my policy. My policy is that you send me an email, I'm going to read it on the air. Alright? I will. I'll read it over here. Alright? You give me your top five, and I don't care if the episode is about the orca love whales. I will talk about whatever it is. No matter what it's about, I will talk about it. If we're doing a spotlight on Frank Miller, and you want to tell me your favorite Batmobiles, I will have a segment at the end of the show called Listener Emails, and I'll do it, all right? I swear to God, I promise, I will do it. Okay? I'll do that for you guys, all right? Anyway, so now for this last segment, we just want to talk to Forrest a little bit. We want to get to know our co-host, guest host, I should say. It'd be great someday if he's a co-host, but let's see how he feels after a while. But anyway, so the first question I want to ask all my guests, and you too, is that when did you see Batman? When did you notice him? And what is it about him that you like?
The first time I saw Batman, I believe it was the movie Batman and Robin was my first real impression of Batman when I was probably about 12. The movie really appealed to me, and I enjoyed it as a child. And I never got into the dark side of Batman that really isn't shown in the Joel Schumacher films so much. I didn't get into him until probably a good 3 years ago. I'm 17 now, so I was about 14. And since then, I've just fallen in love with the concept of the Dark Knight. And I've grown weary of any other persona that they've tried. Any of this lighthearted stuff, I really can't bear because it draws away from the coolness that is the idea for Batman. And I'm sorry, was any of the other questions regarding Batman?
The question was, what is it about him that you like? What is it appeals to you?
Well, there's actually a lot of things, and probably number one is probably he's a superhero that doesn't have really superpowers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's influenced by his rage, in a sense, for injustice. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I can really relate to that. And whenever I see an injustice in the world, and sometimes you feel you can't handle that. or you can't change it. And Batman's the kind of character that, regardless of what it is, says, no, I can change it. And he does. Maybe he doesn't do what justice dictates perfectly, but he still gets his own brand of justice. And which, to me, is better than no justice at all.
Yeah, word to that. Very good. Yes, alright, so, since you weren't here for our last episode, I'm gonna ask him what his five movies of Batman, how he would order the movies in the, Batman trilogy, you know? I'll let him go down, I'll let him do the list, and I'll comment if I want to, I think.
Okay. Well, I think my list is probably similar as I heard your podcast a while back. Basically, in the sense that I think Batman Begins is probably the best of all five of the movies to come out so far, not including the Adam West one from the 60s. Batman Begins, for me, was just this great genesis of Batman. I mean, it was so great, and I can't get over that. And what I loved the most, probably, was, for instance, the Batcave. I mean, when you think about the story of Batman, and I'm thinking about this in the real world sense right now, you think about, like, how does he get that entire Batcave built? Like, in the Joel Schumacher films, how did he get all that cool-ass, like, you know, everything in there to, like, hoist cars up and
the
his
computers.
Jet and everything, and the computers and everything? And although, you know, I accept it because the movies are great, you know, and, but sometimes you can't help feel like, how the hell did he get a construction team to do that without it spilling that he's Batman?
Well, I mean, if you read the comics, I don't know if the continuity they were using for the movie, but he has special people who build stuff for him. You know, like the Batcar and stuff like that. He has special people, but that's just in the comic books, huh?
Right. And those special people might come out, so to speak, in the next movie after Batman Begins. Because the genesis started with him in that cave, and all he had was like a footlocker sort of thing where he threw his bat suit, and this old elevator that went up to a secret doorway, and that was the Bat Cave. You know, he had that waterfall that hid the entrance and everything, and that was really genuine. And like the fact that when he first went out and talked to the would-be Commissioner Gordon, he wasn't even wearing the bat suit. He was wearing, like, a black ski mask over his head and, like, black stuff. And he, like, jumped across a couple buildings and, like, knocked his head in on some stairs. And that was really cool because it's, like, the trial and error beginnings of Batman.
Yeah.
And
have you read Frank Miller's Year One?
No,
have
I
you heard
haven't.
Of, have you heard of it?
I think I have, and I'm a huge Frank Miller fan.
Yeah, Frank Miller's awesome. Anyway, Frank Miller, he decided to do the first year of Batman. And lots of it is him screwing up and stuff like that. I'll have to let you read that.
Most definitely, and we can discuss that in the future. And aside from the cave in Batman Begins, everything kind of takes hold. I mean, you got Commissioner Gordon before he's Commissioner Gordon. He's just a good cop. And you can kind of feel like you hope that he becomes commissioner even, because he's one of the only good cops left, and you feel like the city would be better off. And you can kind of see this partnership between him and Batman forming. And, you know, Alfred, they brought in Michael Caine to be Alfred, and he did phenomenal. You know, and I just couldn't help but feel it was a brilliant beginning to Batman. More so even than in the original Batman, which made it to my number two. I compiled the top five, of course, and number two was Batman. And the reason being was, it was a great movie, it was a great story, it was The Dark Knight. It wasn't the Joel Schumacher lighthearted Dark Knight. It was the Dark Knight, the troubled person in the dark, damp, you know, gothic Gotham. You know, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It wasn't a demented film, but it was Tim Burton worked on it, and you can tell. And that was really great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the Joker in it, so you got more of this demented feeling with it. And
yeah.
You get this great image of the Joker because it's so warped.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson was great.
Yes, he was. He was very good, and I hope rumors say that Heath Ledger will be the next Joker, and I hope he's able to
Yeah, we're going to talk about The
justice.
Dark Knight later.
Okay. And third on my list was Batman Forever. Now, many people might disagree with me in my placement of Batman Forever at 3 and Batman Returns at 4, and I'll get to that in a second. Batman Forever for me was almost a half-and-half ordeal. It was half Tim Burton, kind of Dark Knight-ish, and the other half felt more in the Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
So I got this, it feels refreshing. No, it feels like the series is getting a new spin.
Yeah.
And that was really good for that one movie. And then they decided to up the levels on the more...
campy?
The more campiness.
No, yeah, see, because my thing with Batman Forever is that, no, I like it. And I think that Val Kilmer as Batman is very good. I think he's dark, you know? And I think he's fine. I don't really have a problem with Val Kilmer's Batman. I have a problem, even though when I was little I loved it, but when you watch Batman Forever now, you watch Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey, and they're way too over the top, including Tommy Lee Jones. And like, Tommy Lee Jones, he's a little... you know, he gets a little too campy, and it's a little bit campy. But there are some elements. There are some elements that are, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right. And, you know, and that's a good thing to bring up, because Tommy Lee Jones did good, but you didn't really get this demented person out of Tommy Lee Jones. You more got this lucky free, you know, happy-go-lucky Mr. I'm good and evil. I'll flip the coin to tell you what I am right now.
Yep.
Am I good? Am I evil? You know?
No, yeah.
And you didn't really get this feeling of a demented person that's really fighting inside himself between the two, and the only way he can decide that is through using his coin.
Yep.
So, just barely that made it as a movie that worked for me, that wasn't too campy. It was borderlining, but it wasn't too campy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Batman Returns. Now, this movie is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. It is a great movie, and actually the only reason behind it is I'm not very fond of the Penguin as a villain. It may seem like an extremely stupid reason to knock it down on the list, which it probably is, but Batman Returns just doesn't have something for me. It's good. I love the Catwoman in it. I thought she did it phenomenally, but it felt a little off, and that's why it made it to number 4. And I totally enjoyed the Penguins, you know, marching to the square and such, and the Penguin taking over Batman's automobile. And they added a couple of, you know, effects where, like, Batman's automobile. My bad, everyone. Okay, then the Batmobile, how it could divvy up and then go through, like, little tiny spaces, like in that little alley in the car chase. That was very entertaining and such. And so, it was a great movie, and it felt like Batman only with a couple more different villains. It didn't really feel like it brought anything new to up the levels a little bit, as a sequel really should.
Alright, okay.
Okay, and the final film, which is most definitely my least favorite, was Batman and Robin. The only thing that I really, really, really loved in Batman and Robin was Poison Ivy.
Word to that.
I mean, it's Uma Thurman, and, you know, masculinity aside, she played the role, I thought, considerably well.
Anyway, sorry.
I didn't think she was too over the top. I mean, she played it... she wasn't, you know, over the top or anything. She just did her role. And I felt that. Like, in the beginning, she didn't look much like a hottie. She just looked like some, you know, sort of scientist botanist that sits in her lab and messes with plants.
Of course,
But then she transforms, and she's suddenly this person that's in charge and somebody that's going to take down Batman and Robin just through their hearts or, you know, and everything. And I really got that. And the only thing that countered that was Mr. Freeze and his campy...
Arnold Schwarzenegger's acting as Mr. Freeze disappointed me, but I have to admit, even if I see one now, I love seeing Mr. Freeze. I have a cool thing with Mr. Freeze, and whenever I see him, even if it's in the bad Arnold Schwarzenegger way, I still like that. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's enjoyable, but it's not something you would want to spend a Batman movie on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you only get so many Batman movies, and you don't want to waste them having kind of enjoyable characters like Mr. Freeze played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
The thing that kind of upsetted me later on in years after I've watched Batman and Robin is Bane. Bane in Batman and Robin, he's a big stupid idiot with huge big muscles, and he goes "Arr!" and he crashes stuff. But in the comics. And in the comics, and I discovered this after reading Nightfall, which you know, I have no problem with. I mean, I'll get on to my soapbox about crossovers and big events and stuff later. But, you know, I'm just going to tell you right now is that if it's Batman, it already has about a 25-30% liking. Even if the story sucks, it has at least 25-35% going for it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, we're not going to even go into that. But Bane, in the movie, he's the stupid big idiot guy who smashes things. But in the comics, like in Nightfall, he is smart, and he breaks out all the people, and he wears Batman down. Bane is the only person to ever break Batman, and I like that. All right, now I want to talk to Forrest a little bit, have a little chatter over The Dark Knight, the sequel to Batman Begins, of course. It's going to come out next year. Christian Bale's back as Batman, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine. But listen to this. All right, Heath Ledger is the Joker. Now, here's my thing, is that I think, when I heard that, I was like, really? My problem is that don't ask me why, people, but I'm not thinking about, is he going to act it good? Because I think he can, because I've seen lots of his work, and he's a good actor. I enjoy him. But this may sound stupid or whatever, but I want to know how they're going to bring a Joker that's scary and menacing into today's cinema world. Because back in the 1989 version, they painted Jack Nicholson's face and put some prosthetics, and that's it. But now, we can make his eyes bloodshot. We can make him have razor teeth. We can make him look like a Jim Lee picture. So I'm just like, is that the way we're going to go? Are we going to make it kind of like the Jack Nicholson, like real life? Or is he going to be really a scary guy out of the darkness?
Well, they're definitely going to bring something new to the series. They're going to bring an edge, because that's what I feel Batman Begins has been doing and is going to continually try to do. The people that made that movie knew that they weren't just going to try to make another Batman movie, another serial sort of thing. Just try to make something with a decent plot, you know? What they want to do is they want to revitalize the series, which means they're going to revitalize every character. They revitalize Gordon, they revitalize Batman, they've revitalized Morgan Freeman's character, they've revitalized Alfred, they've done it to everyone.
Yep.
And I think the edge that they brought to everyone is going to be carried over with Heath Ledger. I mean, regarding makeup and prosthetics, I'm not sure if they're going to use a lot or a little. Maybe they'll use a little. Maybe they're going to show the de-evolution of the character into the Joker. Or maybe it's going to be something sudden. Like, you know, he's just suddenly turned into this criminal. And I'm very interested to see, you know, what it's like for Batman to meet his match. Is this going to be like a psychological film on top of it being a Batman film? You know, is it going to be Batman, you know, pondering why can't he defeat the Joker, and the Joker just messing with him?
Probably, maybe.
And scaring the hell out of people.
Yes. So did you hear who's going to be Harvey Dent in the next movie?
No, I haven't.
Aaron Eckhart.
That's right. I did hear that, actually.
Yep, and he signed on for the next one, so I'm smelling a Two-Face villain, and I can't wait to see that. They say that he might turn into Two-Face at the end of this movie. Like, you know, one of those 5-minute things, probably, but still.
Well, you know what would be really great? And, you know, this is just me spitballing, and this is just an idea I'm throwing out. If something along the lines of, you know, Batman catches the Joker at the end of this next movie, and then the Joker gets his lawyer, you know, a district attorney or whatever, and it turns out to actually be Harvey Dent. You know, this kind of plays in or something, and maybe the Joker tries to escape, and he hurts Harvey Dent in the process, causing the Two-Face thing. You know, one of those little connections would be awesome. But that aside, just Aaron Eckhart is a phenomenal actor. I mean, if you haven't seen him in Thank You for Not Smoking, I mean, he does great in that. And I'd love to see him portray this role of being, you know, half evil, half good, fighting within himself to see what he's going to choose. And, you know, I can really see that playing out where the Joker's just an evil man that, you know, just, he comes in, he messes with Batman. Sometimes he kicks Batman's ass, and sometimes Batman kicks his ass, but usually he gets away. And then you've got Two-Face in this backstory. And, you know, I wonder if they're going to shy away from this concept of the two villains having similar goals and might even have this sort of triple crown thing going on, where the Joker has an agenda, Two-Face has an agenda, and Batman has an agenda. And they're all fighting against each other. And you have to wonder if Two-Face is going to ally with Batman or the Joker in that kind of a scenario.
All right, yeah. So what do you think of them keeping the character of Rachel Doss, Katie Holmes' character.
Right, she was a lawyer, right?
Yeah, but they're getting a new actress. They're getting Maggie Gyllenhaal, Jake Gyllenhaal's brother.
Right.
Sister, sorry.
Right. I completely disagree with it. And that actually, now that you've just told me that, I have not heard that, actually. And that is an extreme disappointment, and I'll tell you why. It's because the Batman, this series has a chance to be something really, really refreshing and cool. And the number one thing that I think isn't refreshing is when they bring in the same character with a different actor. I just don't think it works, and it disappoints me greatly.
But the thing is that some people thought the character was okay, but they hated Katie Holmes. So that's why I think maybe they're doing that.
So then you change the story. You know, you make it so that, you know, maybe she died. Maybe you can put in, maybe you can make it so that the Joker, you know, crashed a train or something that had Katie Holmes on it. And then you can get an entire subplot where Batman's reconciling with that while he's fighting the Joker. I mean, there really is no need to give you, to give the audience continuity. If you're making a trilogy, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, if you're making, if this is like one of those hour-long TV series, like maybe Heroes, then you worry about something like that. But, you know, when you're making three movies, you just move on and you roll with the punches. You don't inconvenience everybody with this actor switch-up with the same character.
Yeah, all right. No, very good. Very good. All right, well, anyway, I think that does it for this episode. I hope you have enjoyed listening to us this evening, or today, or this morning, whenever you're listening to us. It's been a joy for me. How has it been for you, Forrest?
It's been great. I hope everybody enjoyed the listening, and if I've offended anybody, please inform me, and I'll get back to you on that.
Exactly. No, totally. I mean, I love Batman, and I am a great, huge fan of Batman, and Forrest is a fan of Batman, too. But one of the great things about comics and Batman and things like that is that we all have a subjective thing. And so if you guys disagree, please send in an email, darkknightpod@yahoo.com, and I'll read it on the air. Seriously. I mean, you know, it would be great. No problem with that. So yeah, you want to send some hate mail? Well, not hate mail, please. Let's not go that bad. But if you want to, you know, if you want to have a debate or a discussion, we can totally do that. Let's do it. Big breaking news for you. The great guys at Comic Geek Speak are giving the Dark Knight podcast its own forum. It's going to be great. So for all you fans out there, you guys can go to Comic Geek Speak. I'll have a link somewhere on the website. But you guys, I'm going to have a forum, and we can talk about Batman, what we should do for the episodes, and things like that. Some ideas I have for this podcast, if you want to know. I want to have spotlights on characters. I'd love to have discussions on, I want to have some discussions, which I think, Forrest will be, you know, will have a great time at.
Almost definitely.
Is the psychology of Batman, why we like him. I believe that's going to be our next episode, probably. But anyway, so yeah, so, you know, contact me, or Forrest, you can actually contact him, do it the same place, darkknightpod@yahoo.com, title it, you know, title it what you want to title it, and I'll give it to him. We'll read it over the air, and I'll get him over here. All right? But we're going to do listener emails and the whole thing. We're going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you for listening.
Yep, thank you very much, and have a good night, day, whatever you want.
All right, and we'll see you somewhere in Gotham. Good night.